Well, good morning, Park City, and welcome to The Mountain Life. This is KPCW's weekly show about health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. My name is Dave Cushing, and I'm filling in this week for Lynn Ware Peak, who is off on city tour to Boulder with the city council and the leadership team to figure out what they do over there.
And I'm Graham Anthony. Today we'll speak with Todd Thatcher and Dodie Wilson from Valley Behavioral Health. Valley Behavioral Health provides mental health and substance abuse services to Salt Lake, Tooele, and Summit County residents. We may well live in one of the happiest places on earth, but challenges persist and affect all of us.
Right. Thanks, Graham Anthony. I didn't have your mic potted up for your intro, but we're back. How are you doing today?
I'm right here, Dave.
Yeah, good.
All good.
All
beautiful,
good.
But smoky day.
It's a smoky day out there. You can hear it in my voice, I think, because I've been like hacking a little bit ever since I went up to Wyoming. In the mountains there, there were a bunch of smoky elements. But we're going to be okay. After speaking with the Valley Behavioral Health team, we'll meet Senti Sorensen and Stacy Sayers of Life Course Education here in Park City. They'll talk to us about a series of experiential classes designed for awakening to what they call what is true and what is possible, and to navigate one's life course through personal expansion and growth. Stacy and Senti are guides on this path to living with intention.
An interesting hour to be sure about healing and healthy living. Stay with us. We'll be back after these words from our underwriters.
Hey, and we're going to go back in time and just remember, audience, those underwriters you heard before the theme were the underwriters that were scheduled for now. So go out and support Davidson Orthopedics, Fairway Independent Mortgage, and Park City Mountain Resort. They're all great folks. Well, welcome back. It's Mental Health Monday, which is actually a Wednesday today. We live in a uniquely beautiful part of the world with access to culture and activities that most people can only fantasize about. Yet, we're not immune to the challenges of finding peace and happiness in our lives. Valley Behavioral Health provides diagnosis and treatment to those struggling with addiction, mental illness, depression, and other behavioral issues. Our guests today are Dr. Todd Thatcher. I believe you're a medical director.
Yes, Chief Medical Officer of Valley Behavioral Health.
Chief Medical Officer of Valley Behavioral Health. And also Dodie Wilson, who I think you are Director of Summit County Services.
Yes, for Summit County.
Right. Thanks so much for coming up and welcome to the Mountain Life. Well, Valley, you've been around for 30 years and have experienced amazing growth. You're an organization of huge numbers on your website. You show that you work with maybe 18,000 clients a year these days. And tell us a little bit about the structure of the organization, Dr.
Well,
Thatcher.
Thank you. We're in five counties at this point: Salt Lake County, Tooele County, Summit County, Davis County, and also down in Utah County. And so we provide basic mental health services from the level where primary care kind of leaves off or is no longer capable of handling issues, all the way up to and including just before you go into the hospital or jail. So we cover that area of mental health. So primary care is actually handling about 70% of the mental health in this country. That people come in to see their doc and they complain of depression or anxiety or substance abuse problems, and they'll take care of a lot of it, but when they need help, that's where we come in.
And people who just sense that they're having personal issues or marital problems, can they call as well and set it up without a referral from a primary care physician?
Yes, absolutely. So even though, like I said, 70% are going to the primary care doc,
right,
probably because they feel comfortable doing that. You know, one of the big frustrations we have in mental health is that we have a lot of services to offer, but only about 50% of people who need those services actually get them. So any way that you can get into those mental health services, we're more than happy to take it.
And another avenue would be court mandated.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
What do you got, Graham?
Do you find that the majority of your client base are coming for a particular range of services that you can identify?
Well, in Summit County, we offer a broad range of services. So as you mentioned earlier, we do see court-ordered and court-involved clients, but we also see a lot of individual depression, anxiety, couples, family issues. We have a lot of adolescent and children clients as well, and we have a really robust school-based program. So our therapists are actually going into the schools and seeing children in the schools and families.
And so can we look at this as a ground up? Are you helping parents in with child rearing issues right through the problem high school?
Absolutely. We have parenting classes, psychoeducation, so just some basic education classes as well as prevention. We do a lot of preventative work throughout the community, partnership with the schools, with the hospital, with the jails, and then also in-house at Valley Behavioral Health on Sidewinder Drive.
Right. Well, Dr. Thatcher, what was your path into mental health counseling?
It was a bit interesting. I started out as a rock and roller. I went off to Boston to go to college at Berklee College of Music, and then went on a mission, then came back, and ended up doing 4 years of truck driving across the country in 18 wheels, and then decided I wanted to be a doctor, so I decided to devote the next 14 years of my life to medical education, and then I came here about 8 years ago and started with Valley Behavioral Health. So I've got a little bit of a different past, I guess, or a non-traditional pathway into medicine, but I think it really prepared me to work in mental health because I'm a real person. And I've worked jobs, I know what it is to have life difficulties and problems and friends with substance abuse issues, family with substance abuse issues, which of course, you know, makes me, I think, a better chief medical officer because I have some real, understanding of life struggles.
Interesting, you know, you're talking to Graham, a drummer, and Dave, a bass player, who have worked a little bit together.
Yeah.
Casually, right. So that's really interesting background. Well, let's just talk broadly. Why is mental health so important to overall wellness?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think I would use, remember Christopher Reeves, who was,
sure,
you know, played Superman, was a great actor and that, and how he damaged his neck where he became paralyzed from the waist down. I use him as a great example because your body can be basically non-functional, you know, as far as being able to move around from the neck down, but as long as your mind is working, you're able to still work and accomplish things and get things done and involve yourself in relationships. You know, he had his wife and his kids he still was involved with. However, if you reverse that and your mind isn't working well, it doesn't matter how healthy your body is below the neck, it can devastate your life and completely debilitate you. So your mind working properly, I don't know that there are words to describe how important that is. And whether that's taking the form of depression, which is just zapping you of energy and zeal for life and actually having you think about ending your life, or anxiety and fears, which are debilitating you with just paralyzing fear to do things, whether you're having what we call psychotic problems, where you're not in touch with reality, schizophrenia, those kind of things, hearing voices, the TV or radio is talking to you, the brain isn't processing reality properly, or substance abuse problems, you know, where you're damaging your brain and causing it to have a lot of these problems through that addiction process. There's lots of ways that can happen, which can be very devastating.
As we watch the reports come out of Houston and from the beginning of this tragedy of nature, I've felt from the beginning that we've been watching people go through a process there that is exposed to the world, and the differences in how some people cope from the very beginning are fascinating to me. Can you address a little bit about how that alters the course of events for people the day after the floods have receded?
Sure. Did you want to take that, Donnie?
Sure. So that's a great question. And absolutely. So our environment affects our thoughts, how we feel, and therefore our behaviors. And so also we deal with a lot of trauma, and those are very traumatic experiences, not only if you lost your home, but even if your property was damaged or if your neighbors, and certainly the death or injury of friends and family. And we all do deal with trauma very differently. That's a great point. And that's why mental health, behavioral health is so important, because if we don't deal with it in healthy, positive ways, by allowing ourselves to process that information with a safe person and making sure that the behaviors that follow are also helping us to get through. In fact, a lot of grief will be happening with a lot of those residents as well. If we don't do that, then what can happen is that we begin to adopt maladaptive behaviors. So those would be behaviors that are not healthy for our overall functioning or daily functioning in work, relationships, etc.
And we're not immune to these effects, even in our idyllic community of Park City. And we've, you know, in the not too distant past, have dealt with the effects of drugs in the community. Do we not benefit as a community that we all feel that when it happens in such a small town?
Well, I believe so, absolutely. And so at Valley, being the community mental health provider, we really do look at the community. We want to help the community at large because we really do believe that we all affect each other. And so if my house is burglarized, that's going to affect my neighborhood, you know, my family, and even other friends. So we want to help everybody as a whole. So that's why we are in the jails. We have a great relationship and work very closely with the courts, with the schools, with the hospital, with Peace House, with the Christian Center, the Jewish Community Center. We have a lot of community relationships because we do believe it's so important to reach out and connect through us or with us, or for us to be connecting with the whole community.
And just to add to what Dottie was saying there, I think it's important for people to understand, depending on the psychiatric order you're talking about, it is a universal problem. It's not just in certain parts of the country or certain parts of the world. For example, schizophrenia affects about 1% of the population, no matter what population they go and look at. And so, you know, we think there's a lot of genetic component to that. But then you take depression. Depression will go up and down a little bit more in its percentages, but there isn't a place on the planet where they've gone and found a society that does not have to deal with major depressive disorder or substance abuse issues. And so it's really a human being problem that affects all of us. And particular areas you may live in may make you a little more susceptible to certain problems. But we like to tell people that to kind of do what we say to normalize the problem so that they don't feel like there's some sort of defective human being or something's hanging out on them, that it's actually quite common for people to have mental health problems. And the important point is that you identify that and get that taken care of.
Well, let's just talk about depression in a little more detail because it happens all over the world, as you said. How do you define it? And if... let's just talk about it from a parent's perspective. How do you identify it in your child?
That's a great question. Let's talk about defining it. Depression is a normal part of being a human being. So we go up and down. We have moods that go up and down. Most of us stay, you know, pretty neutral moods most of the time, and we'll go up and down depending on what happens. And we'll even get so depressed at times, you know, if a loved one dies, you know, you'll be sad for weeks and down and, you know, crying and those kind of things. And so human beings have the ability to experience that low level of depression and then bounce back. The key is that the brain is also designed so that we'll experience pleasure and bring us out of those down times. So if you have a particularly bad day at the office and you go home and you're feeling down, you'll do things that'll bring you up. Exercise, you know, play with the kids, watch TV, whatever it is, and your brain will then help you, you know, correct that down mood. Major depressive disorder is the brain disorder where you get down for at least 2 weeks and can't get back up. Something is broken in the brain which doesn't allow you to feel that pleasure, which brings you back up. So warning signs for that are that the usual things that you used to do that helped you feel better don't anymore, and you just can't seem to bring yourself up. And like I said, it goes on for longer than 2 weeks. Now, what you want to look for if you're an adult and you have children, what you want to look for is changes in your child's, you know, usual behavior. So if they were usual, you know, had the usual amount of friends and played with them and were interactive with the family and, you know, would have good times and bad times, if that starts changing, where their school performance goes down, they're starting to isolate more, they're not playing with their friends as much, they're more moody. If you notice those kinds of changes, those should be signs that that may not be just the normal moody teenager. And one word we like to get out about this is, if one of your kids had a cough or a rash or some other problem, he's like, gee, you know, you'd ask people, what's going on with my kid? I don't know, maybe you should go get it checked out. It's considered good parenting to just go get a professional opinion and, right, you know, allow you to resolve that and go, oh, that's not a big deal. You know, it's just a rash. We'll just watch it resolve. Well, somehow there's a little disconnect that happens when it comes to mental health problems. So if your kid is acting like that, people just let that go and go and go.
It can seem so normal for kids, and they're changing all the time anyway because they're growing, and it must be very hard to spot.
Right. So, well, that's where we say, look, err on the side of just getting an evaluation, get a professional opinion so that you can get that extra help to decide whether or not this is just normal teenage up and downs or this is something different that's going on that you may need some extra help for.
And what can an organization like yours and other mental health professionals do to treat or cure depression?
So that's absolutely. So we have individual therapy, so one-on-one, family, couples, group therapy as needed. And because part of our goal is to meet the needs of the community, when we see a few clients that have something in common, we'll often group people together if that's a need that we need to serve in the community. And one thing to remember about depression, as you mentioned, a cure, is that sometimes we know that absolutely that interventions and treatment work, and at some cases medication may be needed in severe depression. And research shows that with severe depression that is episodic, so it continues, that medication and talk therapy, psychotherapy together is the best treatment for that. But that may not be needed. And so sometimes, though, just coming in, as Dr. Thatcher mentioned, for treatment and seeing a therapist may help you to stabilize, so to be your normal self again, whatever that might be for you, but that it might come up again. So coming back to us or another treatment provider may be important to continue for some time.
I have heard that altitude can be a factor in depression. Is that validated?
Okay, let's jump into that. Yes, that came out a few years ago from some researchers. And I looked at that, and I went and did my own little research. And what I did was went and found places around the globe that were at sea level. So Tokyo, you know, some other places that were at sea level type cities, London, so for example, and looked at their suicide rates and didn't really see that tight a correlation that you could place it on that. Certainly in the United States, that's valid data. So that that's a correlative data. In other words, the high altitude states in our country, which also happen to be in the Midwest, in the Mountain West, have the highest suicide rates. There's no question about that. And we're also at a higher altitude. Now, whether or not there's something that about altitude that causes that, I'm not convinced as a scientist and as a doctor that that's true. There's certainly some other issues we should probably look at besides just altitude.
I believe you, because it makes me happy to be here.
We talked a little bit about younger people and what parents can do. How about your aging parents, or your aging self? How do we become aware that our brains need services from providers as we grow towards, old age? Here's why I ask. Our second guest today was going to be a doctor who has just written a book about Alzheimer's. He had to cancel for some travel-related reasons. So I'm thinking about Alzheimer's. How do you recognize if you're going into that, and does your organization deal in that community as well?
The answer is yes. We're regularly involved in those kind of evaluations. It's important to know about that, the memory loss and getting older. There's a little bit of difficulty with your memory that's considered to be normal when you get older.
Sure.
And it's usually forgetting, new items. So being unable to remember a 10-item shopping list, maybe you can only remember three or four, is considered to be kind of normal. So there are some screening examinations that we use, some validated instruments when people complain of that, and make those initial assessments. And then we usually refer on to specialists like neurologists when we detect that there's probably Alzheimer's dementia going on, because that's a disease state, and I think your other guest would appreciate me saying this for him. That's a disease state that you really want to get on early and get things planned, because if it's, a lot of people will live in denial, and I know this because I spent time as a medical student with a specialist, a neurology specialist. That's all he dealt with was Alzheimer's. So I got kind of a close-up view of that. And one of the biggest problems he had and he complained about is that he would diagnose Alzheimer's and then people would delay it. They wouldn't take it seriously. They wouldn't plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it ends up with really significant problems that then kind of come back on the mental health system. So, you know, family members that mean well, but they completely underestimate the burden that it is to take care of someone with Alzheimer's, and they want to do it in their own home, and pretty soon they're not getting the rest they need as a caretaker. They're getting depressed. I mean, I've even dealt with people on inpatient units who tried to kill themselves because they were caretakers who were just getting pushed to exhaustion and into depression because there hadn't been good planning with Alzheimer's. So my word for that would be, yes, stay on top of that. We do screen for that, and we'll refer. And that if you do get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's in your loved one, plan early, because that we don't want to have to, you know, see you in there as just an exhausted caretaker who means well.
Okay. We've got a couple minutes left, and I just wanted to ask Dodie to talk about, did I get it right that you have some training seminars that the Valley Behavioral Health offers to the public? Did I see that on your website, or is that internal training seminars for your own people?
So we do offer community education.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. What sorts of things are available?
Right. So our prevention department, we're out partnering with the schools. We offer parenting classes. We offer a free smoking cessation class as well, about every 3 or 4 months. Sometimes we've partnered with the Park City Library to offer it there, or the People's Health Clinic. And that is a free class. You only have to pay for the workbook, which is $25. And if you have trouble paying for that, then come and see me and we'll help you out to help quit smoking. So right. To stop smoking cessation. And so we do offer free services throughout the community. In the jails, we have several different life skills group that is no cost to the inmates or the jail. So that's as far as training is, more education.
And so we've discussed a lot of the community-based programs that you do. You are as well a walk-up or phone-in individual service.
Absolutely. We're located on 1753 Sidewinder Drive, and that's on the opposite side of the parking lot from the 7-Eleven. And you can just walk in and ask questions about our services, or you could give us a call at 435-649-8347 to find out more about our services. But we take most insurance policies, and we do also self-pay if you just wanted to pay cash, or we do offer a sliding fee scale as well based on your income and your expenses, and we'll do our therapists are really broadly trained. Some of them do specialize play therapy or substance abuse, but our therapists are broadly trained to see a broad range of symptoms and diagnoses.
Well, I really want to thank both of you for coming in. We could continue this for at least another half hour or hour, because we've only touched we've scratched the surface of mental health. But thanks so much, Dr. Thatcher, especially you, who had some emergency procedure yesterday. You've risen from the bed and made it in. People, literally, with a minute to spare, Dr. Thatcher walked in. We were going to do it with Dodie, which is going to be great. Now we had benefits from both of you.
Thank you both for being in today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, after underwriters and a little more theme music, we'll be back with Senti and Stacy from Life Course Education.
Valley Behavioral Health is a local nonprofit and proud supporter of KPCW. We are your community behavioral health center and provide a broad range of services, including individual, family, couples, and group therapy for mental health and substance abuse. We serve all ages in all of Summit County. Please check out our website at valleycares.com or 649-8347 for more information.
Matt here from San Francisco Design. Since the start of our business in 1990, we have been supporting KPCW. We offer home decor for Park City and Salt Lake and feature modern furnishings from around the world. Whether you're looking to furnish an entire home or just redecorating a single room, we can help with our in-house design team. Located on Bonanza Drive and on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
G'day, it's Ian from Campos Coffee. Us Aussies really love a summer as much as we love supporting KPCW. We've got Nitro Cold Brew on tap, affogatos made with Wasatch Creamery ice cream, and Mamachari Kombucha made with our Cascara Coffee Cherry. Located above the ice rink at Park City Mountain Resort next to the Adirondack Chairs. CamposCoffee.com.
Our next guests bring special skills in guiding individuals back from a path of, to living with intention. Cindy Sorensen and Stacy Sayers say they can help discover patterns that block joy and help you chart your course to a joyful life. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your program. It's pretty exciting.
Well, we're Life Course Education, and Stacy and I teach a series of classes, a curriculum that we've developed about charting a way to a more fulfilling life. Just as you would take lessons to learn how to be a better skier, or you would hire a coach or someone to help you train in the gym better, these are classes to help you live a more fulfilling life, so you'd come and Stacy and I could be your coaches for that.
And so what is the foundation of your program? Is it philosophical? Is it physical? Is it activities?
Well, I think it's experiential. So we teach a set of experiential classes designed to awaken what is possible and what is true in one's life. So we teach a curriculum that we present a curriculum and exercises and tools to help people understand where they are in their lives currently and maybe find a different path if they so choose.
Right. So you do this in a location here in Park City? Where's that?
We do. We rent some space at the library, which is beautiful if you haven't been there.
Right, right. And what's your background and what brought you to this interesting field of spiritual psychology?
Well, I have to say the roots of this venture started with a meditation group. There's this group of amazing women that Senti and I met. It's been about 10 or 11 years ago.
Yes.
And in this group, we just sort of fell into this desire and yearning for self-discovery. And so together with through meditation, through reading books, through conversations, we developed this this desire to learn more. So I think that's where the roots are. And then I am an educator in the past. I've taught, and so it's sort of a natural transition for me at this point in my life to step into teaching adults some of the skills that we learned in spiritual psychology.
And I have my undergrad in psychology, and I've always been curious about the human condition, why we do the things we do, how we live the lives we choose to live. And just that curiosity through my life led me into yoga teacher trainings and different workshops and meditation retreats. And I did a soul quest where I fasted for 7 days in a canyon and trying to experience that. And then from there, I fell into the University of Santa Monica and received a master's degree in spiritual psychology, which is a 2-year program. And I flew to Santa Monica once a month for a weekend and took classes and then intense homework for the month and did that for 2 years and loved it. Changed my whole life and changed the way I see the world.
And as soon as I saw Senti go through that, I had to follow suit. So then I got my master's in spiritual psychology as well. And then Senti and I developed this language, and we were driving around. I remember this so distinctly, driving up Main Street, and we were saying, don't you wish that everybody understood this? How to communicate better, how to live a fuller life, how to look at life experiences in a way that push us to growth. And that's how Life Course was born.
Life Course, a pretty good name. Did you? And you got the Life Course Education internet address, which is amazing. So is that a name you concocted?
Yes.
It sounds pretty interesting. Now, can you tell us something about the classes that you're offering and maybe some of the experiences and transformative things that your clients / participants have experienced?
Yeah, so we offer two classes. They last for 5 weeks, and they're roughly an hour and a half to 2 hours. One of the classes is called Transformative Personal Insights. And that class, we really look at, you do an inventory of your life, an inventory of where you are. You learn some skills to maybe change certain patterns that you have. You learn a languaging for a more emotional intelligence. So often we have no idea how we are even feeling or even a languaging to express that. And that is really the key to really mental health and mental wellness, is understanding our emotional state. So we go through that in the personal insights, and then we teach a class about relationship insights, which Stacy can elaborate more about.
Yeah, so relationship insights is, we're trying to teach people how to gain insights into their relationships with oneself and others. Exploring the power of nurturing, acquire better insight into our beliefs and how they affect our relationships. And that's a big one. We carry a certain perspective on how we look at life, how we look at ourselves and others through a set of beliefs. And uncovering those can be pretty amazing. And we have the opportunity to look at those beliefs and say, huh, you know what, that's not really serving me anymore. I think I want to update that a little bit. So we go through that process. So then we learn to accept responsibility for our own behaviors and emotions in relationships.
And I want to reiterate the reason why we have put this into a 5-week curriculum. We like to do it longer, but it's hard for people to commit to something like that, is really change doesn't happen overnight. Change happens with repetition. And hopefully within that 5 weeks, we keep talking about the same things where it can be repeated, and we have homework that you can do so that if you want to change something in your life, you can with this 5 weeks of repetition and support.
Do you have, it's hard for me to get my hands around, my mind around exactly the client you're seeing at your doorstep each day. Are they typically trying to solve some problem, or are they looking for personal growth and a path to do that?
That's a great question. We have people coming to us. Some of them are they're going through a life transition, like maybe becoming an empty nester, and all of a sudden they're faced with a change in their life, and they're like, huh, where's my purpose? I used to know what I'm doing and why, and all of a sudden I'm kind of feeling a little lost. Some people come because they are ready to grow. They're going internally and realizing, you know, this isn't, my life isn't exactly what I thought. Not that it's bad, but that, is there more? Can I live differently? Can I live a little bit more with joy? So we get, some people come with a particular issue at hand, and the tools that we teach will help navigate that process to grow and learn from those issues. But really, we're getting mentally healthy people who just want to make some changes in how they're being in their life.
I get that.
Good.
And is there, can you define the line between the behavioral Valley Behavioral Health and the therapy and the services that they provide, and what you're doing for your clients?
For sure. So listening to what they had to say, you know, I think they're definitely dealing with a clientele that's going to come in and maybe be going to be diagnosed with depression or anxiety or struggling with dependency issues. Our clientele has maybe suffered from anxiety or depression or has been through some type of you know, an abuse of some sort, but they're functioning in the world. They just want to function at a higher level. So we can give them tools to notice when depression is coming up, to decide how can I deal with these this feeling of depression. Like I said earlier, so often we don't even know that we're feeling that until it's a little too late.
Is there a measurement for success among your clients? I mean, if I is it harder and harder to accomplish what I want on a mountain bike? Should I go play golf? and is that a benchmark that says I'm playing better golf, so it's been successful?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think if someone's got a smile on their face and feeling lighter and having better relationships with themselves and with their family, that is a marker of being successful.
And I also think it's what you put into the course. I mean, we offer, you know, the homework and support that you can access us through the sessions, where we will offer a private coaching session to help you understand the tools a little bit better, maybe customize them to apply to certain issue within your life. So it's really what you put into it. You know, if you want to do your journaling and read some of the information and practice it and commit to, we call it a 3-foot toss, then you're going to get more benefit from the program than maybe someone who, maybe you just don't have the time or the energy at that point to use and practice.
In the realm of non-traditional therapeutic mental health practitioners, which I would say you are in, there are spiritual directors. My sister is one up in Minneapolis. There are life coaches. There are Reiki energy people. There are all kinds of different ancillary disciplines. And do you consider spiritual psychology an entity unto itself that is... Do you compete with life coaches? Are you life coaches? Are you spiritual directors?
Well, that's a good question. I think that we are we teach life coaching sort of in a group setting. And there is benefit to working with a group because we can learn from each other. While it's not required for people to share what's going on within them, these tools are effective whether someone does the work quietly or someone opts to share. We have found the first couple classes, people tend to be shy and private. And then by session 3, people are chit-chatting and asking each other questions and trying to apply the lessons and learn from each other. So spiritual psychology is a foundation that we use in spiritual psychology for these courses is the foundation of spiritual psychology is that we are souls using and having a human experience. So in that framework, the earth becomes our classroom. And that's the premise in which we teach.
Right. So what's the background of the spiritual psychology movement or way of looking at the world? Where does that come out of? Who are some of the key players? And is it national... Are there spiritual psychologists throughout the nation and or the world? That's a bunch of questions.
Yeah. But,
you know, I'm trying to put this in a framework so I can figure it out.
Well, the University of Santa Monica was the founders, and Ron and Mary Holnick are the teachers and facilitators at University of Santa Monica. And they're doctors. And so they have a traditional psychology background, so to speak, and then they've taken what they've learned, and it's not a spiritual psychology is not a religious background, but it's like Stacy said, the philosophy that is taught there is that we as human beings have souls, and our souls are here having a human experience on this earth, and the earth is our classroom. So people that go to the University of Santa Monica are a huge range. They come from all over the world. I mean, you have attorneys, doctors, medical professionals. You have people that are going through trauma. You have salesmen. You have mothers, fathers. And some of these people do take the tools that we learn and become life coaches. And there is a program at the University of Santa Monica currently to become a certified life coach. But in the beginning realms, there was not. So a lot of people are doing coaching but are not necessarily certified life coaches. And I would say if it's not similar to a Reiki or energy work, it's more tools and techniques that you learn.
So in your Transformative Personal Insights class, let's see, I'm just going to read the description. Yeah. This course sheds light on our patterns and beliefs, giving us transformative insights into to what is blocking us from creating a life of possibility and joy. In the introduction to the class, what are the things you say you're going to talk about specifically, and how are you going to get people through this transformation?
Well, we have our clients start off by taking inventory of their lives, and we do that in two different ways. And after they do that, they take a step back and realize that they've evaluated their lives or what they're doing in their lives in ways that trigger some need of like, wow, I didn't realize that I was doing that. And I'm not sure I really like that, and I want to see if I can change that.
Is it a structured inventory where you have a form and they fill out a bunch of blocks? And what
yes.
are some of the things in that inventory? That sounds pretty interesting.
Well, we take their life and let's see what's on there. We've got
family, where you live.
Money,
career.
All sorts of different aspects of one's life. And we have them rate those a 1 to 10 in terms of how we're feeling about it. And if we're joyful, if we feel fulfilled. And then we have them also write some belief systems about relationships and things like that. So they're looking at their lives in different ways. And then we bring them together and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I rated my relationship really high. But when I look at what I do and how I spend my time and my energy, wow, I'm not doing much to support that high rating. What's that all about? So it's we try and provoke questionings about how one's living.
Is that inventory tool something you two developed, or is that part of the spiritual psychology training at the university?
Well, we've done so much reading, and so it's probably a compilation of everything.
Right.
And we organize it in a way that makes sense to us.
So what's the outcome?
Well, so far we've had certain clients that have said that they communicate better with their families. They don't maybe lose their temper as much with their children. And, one client is assisting a group in starting a non-for-profit. I've had another client, through our kind of goals-making session, visualize a home to be built in southern Utah, and the home was built. Somebody started more of their own meditation spiritual practice that was important to them, and we supported them in doing that.
It's an interesting approach, and what seems to come up on this program week after week is the word transition,
mm-hmm.
That a lot of people, perhaps not unique to this community by any means, but a lot of people in this community are at a stage where they are having a major life transition and do want support and guidance for that. And the other thing that seems to come up, Dave, is mindfulness.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which it sounds like you're sort of navigating around that, but if one approaches life with mindfulness, we can find our intentions and follow through on them. Does that sound about right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we talk about values, finding what, you know, what is your core value? What drives you? And when you get off course from that core value, generally life becomes a little challenging and it's like, whoa, okay, I'm off course. I want to return to that value that I hold so dearly and nurture that value. But it's fascinating how hard it is for us to figure out what is our core value? What is our driving force?
So are you helping people change habits?
Absolutely.
That, that drive them into those bring up those blocks to joy that you mentioned?
Absolutely. To be aware of where they are and given the opportunity to evaluate if that's where they want to stay. So we try and lead people to transition from a state of contraction, of living small, of living controlled into a state of expansion, willing to take risks, willing to step out and have the confidence to do so.
No, 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 Stacey. I just want to stay in my safe place. I don't want to risk anything. Come on.
Yeah. Well, how many cycles have you been through with these courses, and when did you have your first one?
It's only been a year, so we're starting on our second year.
Yeah. So that brings me to, we are starting to enroll for our second year, and the classes start on September 26th at the Park City Library. And you can go to our website, lifecourseeducation.com, to find out more about the classes and enrolling. And we also offer some meet and greet classes where you can come and meet Stacy and I if you're a little nervous about enrolling and you want to ask us some more questions. We have those classes at the coffee shop at the Park City Library. And Stacy, do you have those dates?
That's September 18th and 25th.
Yes, yeah. September 18th and 25th, yes. And they're at 4 o'clock, so you can come and talk to us and maybe just ask some questions that you have if that is helpful.
And I'd like to just add that we so believe in these tools and this process that people that sign up for the course, we encourage them to come back when we offer the course again free for no charge. We like to help people really develop these tools and apply them to their lives. We want to support them in that ongoing effort.
Because it's like peeling an onion. The first time you go through the classes, you understand it at a certain level in your life. And then the next time you go through, there's a new understanding. And we've had people return and have said that experience, like, wow, I got something so different out of the second time.
Spawning evangelists everywhere.
Yes, we hope so. Right? It's creating community, really, yeah. Too.
Stacy, I saw on your bio on your website, you participated in landmark forum trainings, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, we both have.
You
yes.
both have. And those are a follow-on to Werner Erhard and EST, is that right?
Yes.
So what's the intersection between the EST landmark forum world and your world?
Well, I like to say landmark is a pretty masculine way of education. It's pretty heavy hitting, strong tools. I loved it. I got a lot out of it. I think both of us did. Ours definitely has that little bit of a masculine feel to it, but then a little introduction of some feminine.
What's the ratio of males to females who have taken your year's worth of courses?
Primarily females. We have had a few males.
Right, right, okay. What's the cost of taking your 5-session seminar?
Well, it's typically $350 for 5 weeks, so that's 10 hours of instruction plus a private life coaching session with Senti and I. For those who sign up before September 21st, we're discounting that to
$300. $300 a week?
No.
That would be great.
Yeah.
$300 per for
course,
the 5 weeks, right?
For
and you're
weeks.
In a room in the library with 10 or 15 other people, or
exactly,
yeah, right, okay,
yeah. And again, you can, at any time that those courses are going on, you can come and repeat those after you do it for the first round. You can repeat it for free.
And coffee is conveniently available.
And coffee is conveniently available.
I see we're going to talk about another 90 seconds, but you have some courses in development maybe, or some single courses like The Meaning of Money. Can you just tell me what that might be? Is it coming to fruition, or are you doing this already?
We haven't done that one yet. We've been working on the curriculum for that, and it's the energy of money. So we carry beliefs about money, and we take people through a very experiential exercise and where they get to identify, wow, I had no idea that I've been believing such and such about money. And again, it's creating awareness and maybe changing some habits.
Yeah, so we will offer through the year some, we call them more of our one-off classes, which is just one class for an hour and a half, and Meaning of Money is one of them. And we will offer courses if someone wants to come to us as an individual and says, I have a private group that I would like to have you come and teach a class. We are available for that as well.
Life Course Education, give us some contact information.
So lifecourseeducation.com, and then we're also on Facebook, Life Course Education. And so you can contact us through that or show up to a meet and greet.
And the meet and greets are at the library on September 18th and 25th at
4 p.m.
4 p.m. in the coffee shop there.
Absolutely. Yes.
Santi Sorensen, Stacy Sayers, thanks so much for coming in today. We are going to bid you farewell and hope to see you around the community, play a few spots, do the legal ID, and then it's into news.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
For adventurers on a budget, the Utah Olympic Park offers a host of activities at no charge. Admission and parking are always free. Start with a tour of the Alf Engen Ski Museum and the Eccles 2002 Winter Games Museum. Best of all, come support athletes from all over the world who train at the park. Open daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Details available at UtahOlympicLegacy.org.
Utah Olympic Park is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing winter sport and recreation opportunities, and a KPCW supporter.
This is Ryan Hoffman, manager at Mountain West Bank, sponsor of KPCW. We're a community bank with a great understanding of our local needs. Mountain West Bank has something unheard of nowadays, but I can't say it on the radio. We're next to the movies near Kearns Boulevard at 649-3369. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Cookies on Fridays.
The complaint.
Well, you've been listening to The Mountain Life on KPCW Park City at 91.7 and 88.1 FM here in Summit County. In Wasatch County, we're on 91.9 FM. And you can always stream us live or get archived information at kpcw.org and also on the KPCW application for your smartphone, where we're keeping Park City wonderful. We want to thank our guests today, Valley Behavioral Health and Life Course Education, and also our underwriters, which we'll mention after the news.